Mr. President.
Senator from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just heard part of Senator McCaskill, Senator from Missouri's talk, and I wanted
We're still under a quorum call.
You know, I always forget that. I ask unanimous consent to dispense with the quorum call.
Is there an objection? Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll start over. It was great to hear Senator McCaskill on the floor, the senator from Missouri. She's been a real champion of fighting one of the real causes of excess spending and waste in Washington. She came down to talk about earmarks. In this case, she was talking about Republican earmarks, and I congratulate her because we have to go after them all. And if there's one thing in this whole Congress that's bipartisan, it is earmarks. And if America wants to know how well bipartisanship works, you can look at earmarks. Because when it comes to wasteful spending, there is great bipartisan agreement here in the Congress that as long as we get our pork, as long as we get our political projects that we can take back home, then we'll vote for whatever is in the bill, no matter how big it is. And Senator McCaskill, though relatively new to the Senate, has been willing to take on not just my party, but her own in fighting this root cause of much of the wasteful spending in Washington. So I commend her very much for coming to the floor, not just today, but many other times. So she's worked with me on several earmark-related bills. She supported a one-year moratorium on earmarks, which then-candidate Senator Obama flew back to vote to suspend earmarks for a year so we could look at ways to reform them so that we would not continue this pattern of very wasteful spending. I honestly believe that the reason we're looking at trillion-dollar bills today is because of this whole earmarking process. And this $400 billion omnibus appropriation bill that we're considering this week, I'm convinced would be voted down if the leadership on both sides had not sprinkled earmarks for just about every member of the House and the Senate. It's a way to pass bills that otherwise would not pass. I do need to correct one thing that Senator McCaskill mentioned, is this idea that since the Democrats took over the majority that they've cut earmarks in half. I wish that were true, but unfortunately, it's not. If you look at this chart, earmarks had grown under bipartisan agreement for years. As we came into 2006, we began, several of us in the Senate and the House, were putting increasing pressure on both sides to cut the number of earmarks, and they dropped a little bit. But this lower figure here came as the Republicans had lost the majority in the election, but had not yet given up the majority in January, a number of us held back an omnibus bill with thousands of earmarks in it and ended the year 2000 with less earmarks than we had in almost 10 years. But as you see under the Democrat majority, it is already back to the second highest number, counting this omnibus that we're talking about this week, of over 9,000 new earmarks, which are totally unnecessary, totally against the things that have been said in the last election, that in 2009, at least counting as of this week, we're nearly 12,000, the second highest in history. So neither party can boast that we've done anything significant about earmarks. And as America looks in, they're becoming increasingly outraged at this flagrant waste that we're shamelessly involved with every week. And so I commend Senator McCaskill for taking on both parties, senior members in both parties, on this earmark issue. But the real debate, we need earmark reform, and when I'm president, I will go line by line to make sure we're not spending money unwisely. But last week, his budget director said, This omnibus we're talking about this year is last year's business. We just need to move on. So I guess this week we've suspended the presidency, we've suspended hope and change, and we've gone back to nearly 12,000 earmarks. You know, Senator McCaskill said, "Don't take anyone seriously that says one thing and does another. That's the worst sin of all." What I'm afraid of at this point in a new presidency, that the only change that has occurred in Washington is the change with the president himself. This is an issue he said he would help us on. This is an issue he said he knew was a core problem of waste and corruption here in Washington. This is not a Republican or Democrat issue. Neither party can sit down here and say that they're righteous in this. But both parties need to come to the understanding, the realization, that this earmarking process is destroying our whole work as a Congress. You see, what this has done, this has trained the American people to believe that our purpose here in Washington is to take money home to our states and congressional districts. You know, it's teaching the American people that we use earmarks as a reward to help those groups and organizations that helped us get elected. Or we use taxpayer money to help out, to bail out people who've been irresponsible in their decision making. But what we've forgotten is that our constitutional oath is to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States of America, not to get projects for our district. But what earmarking has done is perverted the whole purpose of this Congress. Instead of working on fixing a tax code that's destroying our economic base in this country, to overseeing our financial system to keep it from financial collapse, to fixing Social Security and Medicare so that we can keep our promises to seniors, to defending our country by funding the military properly. Instead of doing that, we spend most of the year here in Washington figuring out which local roads and bridges and water and sewer plants and bike paths we're going to build. And in this ominous bill, whatever you want to call it, it's just hard to read the list and then think about the rhetoric of how treacherous these times are, how difficult they are, and that every penny we spend of taxpayer money has to go to help our economy and help the American people. What does $1.8 million for swine odor and manure management research have to do with these difficult times that we're in? Or $200,000 for tattoo removal violence prevention outreach program? Or $75,000 for a totally teen zone where people can play Xbox? Folks, if I read this, it's only going to make you madder and madder and madder. And this is a mix of Republican and Democrat earmarks. And you'd hear a lot of senators say, "I know this is a bad bill. I know it's wasteful, but I've got something in it for back home. I can't vote against it." There's only one person in Washington who can stop all of this. Because congressmen and senators will say, like a bunch of drunks, "I'm not going to drink as much tomorrow." But they don't have the power to stop themselves. I've become convinced after 10 years of being in the House of the Senate, we don't have the power to stop ourselves. There is one person in Washington who can lead on this issue, and he said he would lead on this issue, and he said this is a change that we could expect from his administration. The president should veto this omnibus bill with over 9,000 earmarks in it. 9,000 of what I'm reading here. That takes money they say is not that much money. Oh, it's just $7 or $8 billion or whatever. But the reason we're passing a $400 billion bill that we should not be passing right now is because it's got these earmarks in it. And the reason that you won't see very many people on the floor of this Senate come in and vote no is because they've got something in it back home that they've already done a press release on, taking credit and beating their chest for taking home the bacon. But the taxpayers are paying for it. And folks, they're getting more and more outraged. And I am too. Because I've got children and I've got grandchildren now that I know that we're taking all of these millions of dollars and putting it on their backs for the rest of their life and taking credit for our little projects and our press reports. There's only one person who can stop this. The person that America counts on today for changing the way we do business in Washington. And if it, after only a month in office, if this system has changed him rather than him changing the system, then we're all in trouble. But we have not reduced earmarks, and we're on track to have the highest number of earmarks in history within the next year in a bipartisan fashion. But there's nothing noble about combining bad ideas from both parties and calling it bipartisanship. And that's what we're doing here today. I'd encourage the president to threaten a veto of this bill, to follow through on a veto of this bill, and make this Congress send this bill back to committee and do the things America needs instead of the things we want politically to help us get elected in our next election that's coming up. I want to thank again the senator from Missouri, Senator McCaskill, for bringing this issue up and have the courage to fight both parties on a very important issue to our country. And Mr. President, I yield back.
Mr. President.
The senator from Hawaii.
In behalf of the leadership, I ask unanimous consent that the Senate now proceed to vote in relation to the Colburn Amendment, number 596, with a time until then equally divided and controlled between myself and Senator Colburn or their designees, that no amendment be in order to the amendment prior to a vote, that upon disposition of Amendment 596, the Senate resume consideration of the Colburn Amendment 608, and that there be 20 minutes of debate remaining with respect to the amendment, with no amendment in order to the amendment prior to a vote in relation thereto, with the time equally divided and controlled between Senators Leahy and Colburn or their designees, that upon the use of the time, the Senate proceed to vote in relation to Amendment 608.
Just clarify that there's no debate time now.
Is there an objection?
Mr. President, I wish to clarify the time. There's no time at this moment, but it will be soon, sir. Do you know what time?
Without objection, so ordered.
May I have the ayes and nays on the Colburn Amendment?
Is there a sufficient second? There appears to be. The yeas and nays are ordered. The question is on the Colburn Amendment, number 596. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Akaka, Mr. Alexander, Mr. Barrasso, Mr. Baucus, Mr. Bai, Mr. Begich, Mr. Bennett of Colorado, Mr. Bennett of Utah, Mr. Bingaman, Mr. Bond, Mrs. Boxer, Mr. Brown, Mr. Brownback, Mr. Bunning, Mr. Burr. Mr. Burris. Mr. Byrd. Ms. Cantwell. Mr. Cardin. Mr. Carper. Mr. Casey. Mr. Chambliss. Mr. Coburn. Mr. Cochran. Ms. Collins, Mr. Conrad, Mr. Corker. Mr. Cornyn. Mr. Crapo. Mr. Dement. Mr. Dodd. Mr. Dorgan. Mr. Durbin. Mr. Ensign. Mr. Enzi.